Good morning. I want to welcome everyone worshiping with us here on this Lord's Day. We ask that those who are seated on the outside of, or the inside of the pews, if you would take the friendship register and just sign that and pass it down the row, if you would. We have a few announcements that we'd like to make this morning. First of all, just a special thanks to all those that worked very hard to have our movie on Friday night. The movie was Faith Like Potatoes, and I know that those who saw that movie were really impressed with it. It was just a great opportunity for us to rejoice in the working of God through a very common Scottish farmer and how God used him in really great ways. So anyway, we're grateful for everybody that came. We'll be having another movie night coming up, and we'll announce that when the time comes. We also just want to share that there's on December the 5th, Sunday, we'll be having our election of officers. That's coming up. We want to continue to keep that before you and ask for your prayers around it. And then this coming Friday, we're going to be having a memorial service for Elsbeth Kerber. Elsbeth died some time ago, but because of COVID-19, they were not able to have a service for her. And her daughter, whose name is also Elsbeth, has requested that we have a memorial service here at the church, and it'll be this coming Friday at 2 o'clock. And I'll be officiating there. John and Betty and Debbie will be doing the music, and so it'll be a time for us just to remember a former member of our church, Elsbeth Kerber. So that's Friday at 2 o'clock. Do we have any other announcements? Any other announcements, anybody? Yes.
Some of you might remember Bob Moore. I'm trying to see in the congregation. There's not too many, but Bob Moore did contract COVID, but it got into his lungs. And so now he is at home, but he's on oxygen, and his lungs are scarred a great deal because of it. But he is recuperating, and he is recovering, but it's going to be a slow process. So please keep Bob and his wife Jean in your prayers. They live down in Polk County, something like that, Rutherford County, something like that. They moved from here down to there. But if you would, just keep them in your prayers. Appreciate it.
I have one more.
All right.
We have a birthday girl here. Oh, yes. Mary Cable's birthday is the 2nd of November.
And today.
And
Edith is today.
And Edith is today. That's fine. We talked about it. I know.
And we do wish both of you a very happy birthday. And many of you know that Edith is going to be leaving us. She's moving out to Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix?
Prescott.
Prescott, Arizona. And so we're definitely going to miss her. I think today is going to be your last Sunday with us, and we certainly are going to miss you. So.
Well, I dedicate my seat to the next person.
Well, so. Are there any other announcements? Any others? Well, then at this time, let's read together our unison reading. This is found in the inside of your bulletin. Let's read this together. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Thank you.
I just noticed, too, that coming up this week on the 4th is Danny Colvin's birthday. So, happy birthday, Danny.
That's right.
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Please bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and almighty Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful that we serve a living God. Lord, you tell us that as we meet together here in your name, that you're here with us. So we invite your Holy Spirit to come, to touch each one of our hearts, and to lead us into a deeper relationship with you and with one another. And we thank you and praise you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 431. Number 431, God of our fathers.
Story.
seated. You know, each Sunday morning, we've been going through the shorter catechism from the Westminster Confession. And so we'd like to, this morning, look at questions 73, 74, and 75. And I'll read the question, and if you would, please repeat the answer. Which is the eighth commandment?
The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal.
And what is required in the eighth commandment?
The eighth commandment requires the lawful procuring and furthering the wealth and outward state of ourselves and others.
And what is forbidden in the eighth commandment?
The eighth commandment forbids whatever hinders or may unjustly affect our own or our neighbor's wealth or outward state.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we meet together, we have the opportunity to give back to God some of what he's given us. So please read with me. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, this passage. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. If the ushers would please come forward now to receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Being this Reformation Sunday, the choir is going to sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's a little bit different from what's in the hymnal. No, I mean, the words and the melody is the same. The tempo's a little different, but here we are. A Mighty Fortress.
Our God, all work never failing. Our help worthy
Please bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for your constant provision, for the fact that you watch over your people and that you provide as our Jehovah Jireh. Lord, we ask this morning that those gifts that we give might be multiplied and used to your glory and honor, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, as we meet together this morning, it's only right that we should lift up those in our congregation and our loved ones to the Lord in prayer and come before him. And we do have some special prayer requests this morning that we want to remember. Edith's daughter-in-law, Ruth, has tested positive for COVID, and we want to pray for Ruth. Also, we have Keith's aunt who has had a stroke. I believe she lives in the Weaverville area around there, and we want to remember to pray for Keith's aunt. And then also Tim Adams' daughter, Carrie, I believe, has also tested positive for COVID. So we're going to lift those people up in prayer and ask God's Spirit to watch over them and help them through this time. So let's bow as we pray together. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we realize how small we are and how powerless we are to change anything. And yet within us is a great big God. So Lord, we pray and ask that by your Spirit now, as we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and call upon you, that you would hear our prayers. Lord, that you would open up your ears and that you would cause us to be renewed in our faith as we surrender these things to you. Our Father, we do pray for those this morning that are having physical difficulties, and we remember to pray for Edith's daughter-in-law, Ruth, who has shown positive for COVID. Lord, also for Carrie, we pray for Carrie this morning, who's also shown positive. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit might surround them, that you would keep them from any further symptoms, that you would strengthen them during this time, and that you would help them and encourage them. And Lord, we pray beyond that, that as your Holy Spirit goes out into our communities and even into our homes, the Lord, you would protect us from this evil, that you would strengthen us, and that you would rebuke this pestilence and cause it to disappear from our country. Our Father, we also pray for Keith's aunt who's had a stroke, and Lord, we ask that you would surround her with your mercy and with your care, and that you would heal her from this, and that there wouldn't be any lasting side effects from this, but that she might be strengthened by your Spirit. Lord, we know that there are others here in our congregation who are going through physical problems and physical difficulties, and Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit might touch each one and bring them to health. Lord, we know that you are the great physician, and we appreciate our doctors and our medical services, but you are the healer. You're the one that we turn to. Our Father, for those who are also suffering from other difficulties and problems, for emotional stress, for fear of the future, those who are worried and concerned about what's going to happen, Lord, we pray that you would give them comfort, to know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you tell us to cast our anxieties onto you because you care for us, and we are so grateful for that. Father, we pray for those who can't be here this morning, and we ask that your Holy Spirit might protect them, for those who are traveling and for those who are housebound. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would move in each of their hearts and cause them to draw closer to you as our Lord. Father, again, we ask and pray on this Reformation Day Sunday that you would help us to remember the tremendous price that's been paid for our freedom to worship you as Lord and God, and that we would not only appreciate it, but that we would stand firm on that same foundation as we move forward. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Now please turn in your hymnal to number 406. 406. Please stand and we'll sing this together. Christ the sure and steady anchor.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning, and this is found in the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 5, reading verses 17 to 32. Acts chapter 5, reading verses 17 to 32. And this is a passage that deals with those individuals who were first proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, not because it was popular, but even though it was very unpopular. And even when they were told by civil authorities to stop, that they continued to follow God. So let's read this together, beginning with verse 17. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, filled with jealousy, and they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." So the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. We know, as John mentioned, today is a very special day, not because it's Halloween, but because today is Reformation Sunday. And this, for believers, and especially for Protestants, has a very wonderful significance. Reformation Day signifies the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany, beginning the Protestant Reformation. In this one act alone, he began a movement that would last, I believe, until the Lord returns. This group that we call Protestants. And if you think about the word Protestant, it means those who are protesting. Those who are protesting. And why were they protesting? Why was Martin Luther protesting? How about the reformers that came before him? What were they protesting? Why were they upset? Well, they were upset because of the corruption and the tyranny that had come into society. Corruption and tyranny that they were being forced to live under and accept as being normal, and yet inside, in their hearts, they couldn't. Like it says about Lot, it says that his righteous soul was vexed. And so the hearts and the souls of these individuals were vexed as they saw God's word being trampled down and the truth being suppressed in unrighteousness. And inside they had to stand up. They had to do something about that. The 95 theses weren't the beginning. It was a part of this Reformation. And if you look at those 95 theses, you see that in every one of them, it's a challenge to go back to the Word of God, to see what the Bible had to say. You know, John said this morning that they watched a movie last night on Martin Luther. Was that on Netflix or?
No, it was YouTube.
Just on YouTube, okay.
Yeah, it's a Lincoln Ear production.
Okay, so just look up Martin Luther and might be a great thing just to look at, to watch, and see what was going on, what the climate was at that time when Martin Luther stood up. And, you know, it wasn't like somebody just standing up on a whim. Those people who rebelled against the authorities at that time were subject to death. They knew that it could mean their lives. And in fact, in many cases, it did. They were burned at the stake. They were beheaded leading up to this time. And so they knew that there would be a high cost for this, to stand against the powers that were in control. The church at that time had a tremendous power over society. The authorities, the civil authorities, would bow to the whims of the church at that point. So when Martin Luther stood up and nailed his 95 Theses to that door, it was a statement that we will no longer tolerate this. And you know, Martin Luther was a monk in the Catholic Church. And he says in his own testimony that as he was doing penance, as he was climbing the steps to the church, to the cathedral on his knees, the words came to him very, very clearly, "For the just shall live by faith." And Martin Luther thought, why are we doing all this? You see, the church at that time believed that there were three different sources of revelation for God. There was the Bible, Scripture, but then there was also tradition. And then there was also the Pope when he would speak what's called ex cathedra. In other words, as he spoke on behalf of God, that those three were equal. And so if tradition said something, then you had to follow the tradition. That's where we get so many of the issues in the Roman Catholic Church that are still being dealt with to this day. The issue of Immaculate Conception, where not only was Jesus sinless and born of a virgin, but so was Mary. Or limbo, or purgatory, or any of these others that came into the church by way of tradition, and they were accepted as equal to Scripture. And the reformers began to say, now wait a minute. This can't be right. This can't be what God intended. And God's Spirit moved in each one of them, and they began to question. And out of their questions, they began to rebel. And any challenge that was made to the status quo at that point was met with very swift resistance, very cruel resistance, force. Yet the hunger for God's truth wouldn't be stopped. The Holy Spirit was at work in the hearts of men, and he was going to bring the truth into men's hearts, no matter what other men would say. And he would not stop until the church was what he wanted it to be. The church does not belong to men. The church belongs to God. The head of the church is Jesus Christ, no human figure. There's no one on earth that can tell the church what it has to do. That alone belongs to Jesus Christ as head of the church. Well, this was the Protestant Reformation. And really, it was between the years 1350 and ended around 1650. It never ended, really. But that was the period that's been referred to as the Protestant Reformation. The church had just gone through what we refer to as the Dark Ages, when really there wasn't much that was taught. The people were kept in darkness during that period of time. But the people began to wake up, and they were no longer willing to accept the status quo. They were no longer willing to accept what they were being told. Just don't say anything. Just go along with it. Show up. Give your money. That's it. But the Holy Spirit was at work, and he was bringing light into that darkness. You know, during that time, God raised up men and women who were willing to stand up, even at the cost of their lives, to bring the truth. And we think about men like Wycliffe. Wycliffe wanting to translate the Bible into German, into the common language, so that people could understand it. Up until that time, it was in Latin. Almost none of the people, except for the clergy, spoke Latin. And so the priests could come and say, this is what God says, and they would have to believe it because they had no way to challenge it. They didn't understand the language that scriptures were written in. So they had to just accept it. And Wycliffe, Tyndale, these others during that time wanted to bring the Bible to the people. They wanted every person to be able to understand what God's word had to say. And that was a threat to those who had the power, to those who had the authority. That was a threat. And that's why these individuals were put to death, both of them. Then we had the later reformers, men like Luther, men like Calvin, Zwingli, Knox. These individuals that God raised up in different parts of Europe during that time to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to people whose ears were open and their hearts were open and they wanted to hear. And these men were men of great strength. I think about Martin Luther. And if you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see it says, "Here I stand." And that was Luther's motto. He was being charged with all these things. And he was urged to recant under possibility of death. And he slammed his fist on the table and he said, "Here I stand. I can do no other." This is the word of God. And here's where I'll stand. You know, through these reformers, we came up with certain principles. There were certain standards of the Reformation. And in fact, they're called the five solas. And I remember when I first started coming here to Malvern Hills Presbyterian, on your bulletin, you had the five solas right there listed. And the five solas were this. They were sola gratia, which means by grace alone. And then there was sola fide, that means by faith alone. And then there was solus Christus, which means by Christ alone. And then sola scriptura, which means by scripture alone. And then sola della gloria, the glory of God alone. These were the five standards of the Reformation. They were the principal beliefs that held the people together. And they became the foundation that continues even to this day. As our denomination, the Presbyterian Church in America, holds these things, we believe in each one of them that it's essential for us. Our Westminster Confession of Faith spells that out. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in Scripture alone. But what if it was written in another language and we had to have somebody else interpret it for us? Somebody that grew increasingly corrupt until we didn't know what it was that we believed. Well, see, that's why we have an Almighty God. That's why we have a Holy Spirit that works in the hearts of men to bring the truth to light. There's a condemnation for those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God's Spirit has protected His church. The church went through some dark times, no doubt about it. But God brought the church through that, and He established us on firm foundations. Well, not long after that, about 150 to 200 years after all this took place, we had something here in America called the American Revolution. The same desire for truth. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And these American patriots wanted that. They wanted to be set free from tyranny. It wasn't just the rule of England. It wasn't even just the taxation. It was the issue of freedom, of wanting to be free. The American colonies struggled under British rule, and that rule became harder and harsher as time went on until they realized we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to stand up. We're going to have to fight for our freedom. You know, freedom is never free. It's never free. The Revolutionary War against the British cost many lives and the fortunes of many of those who participated in the war. We can read the lists, and I'm not going to do that right now, but the individuals whose lives were turned upside down, their families turned upside down, the many who never came home. But they believed that it was worth the cost in the end so that they could live as free men and free women. Like Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. You know, we look at all this. This is our heritage as Protestant Americans. This is our heritage. It took protesting. It took standing up for what we believe. And I know there are many that believe, no, we should not stand up. We should just conform and not make an issue of these things. Just go along to get along. That's not our tradition. Our tradition is to stand up against tyranny, whether it's spiritual tyranny in the church or it's physical tyranny in our government. As Protestants and as Christians, it's our heritage to stand up and do what needs to be done to shake off that tyranny. Now, I honestly believe with all my heart that what God has called us to is not a physical fight. I don't believe that's what honors the Lord. And I use this illustration in our class this morning that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was being arrested, and Peter, overcome with emotion, took out his sword and cut off the servant's ear. And Jesus rebuked him and he said, "This is not my kingdom. My kingdom is not made up of this. If I wanted to, I could call 10,000 angels to come." God doesn't need our physical strength. But God calls on us to stand for truth. Someone said one time, silence is golden, but sometimes it's also just yellow. And I think there are times when we're afraid or hesitant because of the consequences, and there will be consequences. Right now, I believe that we are involved in a war. This is a war of ideology. It's a war of what we are to believe. And there are those that want to change America. They want to change the way we do things. They want to change our direction forever. And those men and women that have sacrificed their lives on the field of battle to protect freedom now are being forgotten. Their statues are even being torn down. And the purpose of that? To forget history. To forget those people that have stood to protect what we should hold so dear. But they're taking it away and they're telling us that it's all for the common good. I'll never understand that. Do you realize that from the beginning of time, every single dictator has said the very same thing to control people? It's for your good. It's for your benefit. Even in the church, the people that come in and say, no, you need to just conform because it's for the good of everybody. If you just conform, don't stand up against those things that the Bible forbids. Because if you do, you'll alienate people, and that's not good for everybody. God didn't call us to protect the common good. He called us to stand on truth. You know, in the book of Jude makes a statement. He says this. This is in Jude chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." He was talking about the church, and he was talking about those who came in under the guise of being for everybody and being for God, loving God, but they were plants. And they began to pervert, and they began to turn the church upside down for their own purposes and reasons. We've had the same thing growing in the United States of America. People who did not share our view of freedom and who felt that it was in the best interest for the common good to do things like population control, to change the food that we eat, to change the way that we worship God, all for the sake of the common good. We're in a war. This is war. The truth is, freedom is never free. And we think about the next generation and the one after that. We think about our children and our children's children and down the line. Sometimes it hurts to realize that those children will never know the United States of America that we knew. They'll never understand the joys that we enjoyed year after year. But while we were enjoying those, there was an enemy creeping in to destroy, to tear down. And you know, the truth is that America's not alone. We're seeing this happen all around the world. We're seeing people who are waking up from a bad dream, and they're beginning to revolt against it. They're beginning to stand up and say, no more. We have had it. No more. And I know that none of us look forward to that. None of us want that. But it's not a question of what we want. It's a question of what's before us to do. You know, our Heavenly Father gave Israel the lands, the promised land. And He could have sent in legions of angels to clear out everybody and just allow them to go in. But God didn't. God said, you go in, you fight the enemy, and I will give you victory. When David went out to meet Goliath, God could have sent down an angel to smite Goliath right on the spot, but He didn't. And David had to stand there with just a sling and a couple of stones against this monster. But he said, the God who spared me from the lion and the bear will spare me from this Philistine. God has given us the responsibility to stand up for truth, to stand up for what's right. And I think today on Reformation Day, Reformation Sunday, that should be our cry. Here I stand. I will not move. You will not take away the freedom that's been guaranteed to me by this Constitution and by my God. The good news is the Bible says that our weapons are not of this world, that we stand on a foundation of faith. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5, it says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Some of you are familiar with the pastor up in Alberta, Canada, who's been arrested. He's again in jail. And I believe that he said the same thing that Peter said, and that is, who should we obey, God or man? And he's willing to go to prison to stand for what he believes. We should be standing in solidarity with him, not taking up arms, but taking to our knees and praying, asking the Lord by his mighty hand to be at work, to bring us out of this darkness that's been creeping into our lives so that we can stand strong, stand up for the truth, stand in the light. We have such a strong foundation. So the question is, will we give in to tyranny and fear? Or will we say, as Martin Luther said, here I stand. I'm not moving. We're going to sing a song in just a minute, and I want us to pay attention to the words, because it says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so thankful and grateful to you that you've called us out of darkness and into light. Lord, we pray that you would give us the strength to stand on your promises, that we might stand in the light and not in darkness, and that we would move forward in your name. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
So yes, open your hymnal to number 381. We'll sing the first three verses here and then the fourth verse for our benediction response. Please stand and we'll sing these first three verses, number 381, The Solid Rock.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.